This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Not at the Scribe in studio with us in a matter of moments. Apparently there's traffic in the Raleigh area today, which is fair. We have traffic. We have construction going on. We're building.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Working on it.
Mm-hmm. Road work all over the place. All right. As we get ready for game six tonight, to me, this is more about, I think this game will be more about what Boston is or isn't than it will be about what Golden State is or isn't. I know Steve Kerr had talked about, well, we have two cracks at winning a title. They do. I mean, that is just a fact. There's no crime in Golden State losing tonight because Game 7 is on their floor. And even though Boston took Game 1, this is why you get home court advantage. So if it comes down to a Game 7, it's in your building. And this is where Boston failed in Game 4, where they had a chance to really control this series and let it get away from them in a game where it looked like they were the better team throughout. And Steph Curry went for 43, and Andrew Wiggins had a big game, at least rebounding-wise, and that was enough. Klay Thompson helped out, and Golden State wrestled home court advantage back. And maybe that was the sign that the Celtics weren't quite there as a group. Now, Golden State has yet to, they have had three cracks at closing out series on the road. They had a chance to close out Memphis on the road. I don't have the score of that game in front of me, but didn't they lose that game by about 50?
Sounds right.
Right. No, like they were at one point, I believe, down 50 in game six in Memphis. They had a chance to close out. Was Memphis in the first round or no? Second round. The second round was Memphis. I don't remember who the first round was. It was Denver. That's right. And they couldn't close out the Nuggets in game four. They were about to sweep. And Jokic had a big game. But it was all right. Gentlemen sweep. They win game five. They had a chance to close out Memphis in game six and just got punked. Or it might have been game five and got punked. I think it was game five. Got beat by 1,000 points. And then they had a chance to close out Dallas and also couldn't close it out on the road. I don't anticipate Golden State winning tonight. I don't. But the way the Celtics have played in the fourth quarter, in second halves, of basically getting run in every third quarter, has said a lot to me about what Boston is missing. And I know that when we talked to Nada, I guess it was last week, you know, we kept using the phrase, and he did, but this is a phrase that I've used also, about playing with their food. This is what Boston does. They're goofing around. Like, I think it's worse than that. And I don't know that it's coaching, because I think Ime Udoka is a wonderful coach, albeit in year one. And maybe Steve Kerr is out coaching Udoka.
Maybe.
Maybe what we're seeing is a great coach who maybe didn't get the credit he deserved for, you know, winning those three titles, albeit they were loaded in terms of their starters, not to mention that, but guys that they had coming off the bench who were really, really good contributors on both ends. Maybe Steve Kerr is going to get his due, I guess, this time around. But I'm just not sure that Boston is a solid enough offensive team to take advantage of how great they are defensively. What I will say is that I don't believe that they will or should change anything they did from game five tonight. Same, I mean, honestly, the exact same game plan is good enough. You just can't stink offensively like you did in the fourth quarter. And that really started at the end of the third quarter. Remember, Golden State, and they were bad in the first half too. Golden State led 51-39 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Boston scored the first 10 points of the third quarter. And ultimately, I believe, had a 4 or 5 point lead with about 4 minutes to play in the third quarter. It was that kind of a turnaround. And then Golden State hit a shot here. All of a sudden, Jordan Poole makes 2 threes at the end of the third.
Yeah.
He scores 5 points. There were 3 free throws and then a layup. Scored 5 points around other scoring in the first 3 minutes of the fourth. And all of a sudden, Golden State's back in front. And they led at the half, too. They led at the end of the third quarter. The Jordan Poole banked 3-pointer.
Yeah.
Which he's done that twice now.
Yeah.
Taking a page out of Steph's book.
It's funny how anytime he hits that, he's like, I'm feeling it now. Yeah. He puts it up.
And he's that kind of an offensive player. He's not great defensively, but he's that kind of an offensive player. If he gets going, and it's almost like Boston should treat him the same way they treat Steph to a certain extent, although you can't, it would be foolish almost to set your defense to stop Jordan Poole because he's not Steph Curry. When Curry gets going, I mean, you're at his mercy because he has as quick a release as we've ever seen in terms of a jump shooter. I mean, when he gets going, and the thing that their defense did, I thought, to Curry was it became cumulative. It became Curry rushing shots, Curry taking bad shots, or Curry maybe thinking too much and not being ready to pull the trigger. Because he was always wondering, where's the defense, even when it wasn't there. And that's why I've always believed that great defense has a lasting effect, even when it's not there. Because I thought that happened to Curry in Game 5. But if you're Boston, you don't change anything about the way you defended. Nothing. And frankly, your offensive game is what it is. I just don't know how it can change. Jason Tatum basically initiates their action. Now, when he's not on the court, they will run it occasionally through Jaylen Brown, or maybe they do it through Marcus Smart. But sometimes Derek White has been the initiator, but basically it all goes through Tatum. And when, you know, Tatum has to understand not to force bad shots, but he makes those sometimes. And once you make a few of those, you thought, oh, I can make anything. So we'll see how ultimately that fuels Boston's offense, but they can't turn it over like they have. And what's the line of demarcation? If they're 15 or fewer, basically they win. If it's 16 or more, basically they lose. Now, to me, that's arbitrary, but that has basically been what's happened. And there was a time during the game where they were at 15. Well, one more turnover, and it's certain they're going to lose. And, like, I'm not entirely sure that that's how it works, but it has certainly worked out in that regard. So the other thing I wanted to get to is the impact on Steph Curry's legacy, if you will. And I hate using legacy as a term because he's not done, right? But in his career to date, this would be his crowning achievement. Like, LeBron James has 4 NBA titles.
Mm-hmm.
We got 2 with Miami in the middle 2 years of his 4-year stint with the Heat. We have the 1 in 16 with the Cavaliers over these Warriors. And we have the 1 he won with the Lakers. There is no question which of those is the signature LeBron James title. It's the one with Cleveland.
Yeah.
This would be the crowning achievement in Steph Curry's career. Because, theoretically speaking, even though I believe that Curry was the best player on those Warriors teams that won, 3 out of 5 years. Kevin Durant put them in a stratosphere that nobody could touch in 17 and 18. You had no chance to beat the Warriors if they were healthy with Kevin Durant. No chance, because Durant was essentially unguardable at that point in his career. And then you had all of the other pieces that they already had that had already won a championship. And real quick, we're having these conversations constantly, and I try to bring it up as often as I can. Harrison Barnes is completely overlooked as a big piece of Golden State's first title.
Oh, he was great.
Harrison Barnes is a good player.
He was great.
I get if you can, and they did, if you can swap out Harrison Barnes for Kevin Durant, and you can do it financially, which is what the Warriors could do because Steph Curry's contract allowed it to be that way, and Draymond's contract at that time allowed it to be that way. So if you could swap out Harrison Barnes in favor of Kevin Durant, you're going to do it. You're going to get better because Durant's actually better at both ends of the court than Harrison Barnes. But holy cow, Harrison Barnes was a very good player. And like if you could put Barnes back on the Warriors today, he'd make them better than they are. So Barnes has never gotten the credit for being part of that championship team. But again, if Durant is coming, I mean, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that you had Steph, obviously, in his prime, Klay Thompson fully healthy before the injuries, and Draymond Green in his prime, and Kevin Durant at his true peak, even though he's still playing at that level. Yeah. I mean, I could have been the fifth guy.
Pretty much.
I probably could have. Actually, who was it? It was Andrew Bogut, I think, was the starting center, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, he was there.
Yeah, exactly.
Andrew Bogut was there.
I also could have been there.
But I don't even think they needed a center. I mean, Draymond played center for, you know, a lot.
Yeah.
Bogut played some, but he was just there if they needed size, right? Yeah. And honestly, a lot of this run has been made without size. So, you know, they often play with a small lineup on the court. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But you
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. Our friend Nada is coming in. It's all right. Raleigh's a difficult spot.
Graduation traffic.
All right, we're going to try to fit in a lot here.
Yes, let's do it.
All right, so, Nada the Scribe on Twitter, CBS Sports. All right, you are one of our NBA mavens.
Yes.
Let's start with the Celtics.
Okay.
Let's do this about the Celtics. If they can't win Game 6 tonight, and I think they will win Game 6, they might blow Golden State out tonight.
I've heard you mention this because I was – a little research on this. Had a lot of time to think about this.
In the car.
Right,
don't tell people that you're doing that. Doesn't this say more about that the Celtics might be there yet at this point, or they're missing a piece if they can't win Game 6 tonight?
I think they're missing a piece. I think what we're starting to see is the limits of not having a point guard.
Right.
Like that's the big thing.
Piece I'm talking about.
That's the piece. I thought Derek White was going to be that piece. Me and you had this conversation at the deadline that this was going to be the piece. I am shocked that it's not the piece. I thought Derek White would be better with them, they're going to need a starting point guard, and they're going to need a high caliber starting point guard if this is going to be the case and if that's what they're missing.
If you're running your offense through Jason Tatum,
yes,
and that's what they're doing, and maybe exactly. that's what they're going to do forever, I mean, do you really need a high caliber point guard, or do you just need somebody to kind of get you through those moments when it's going sideways?
I think you need – that's a tough one because I thought Derek White was a high-caliber point guard before this all began.
Right.
I do wonder if this becomes one of those situations where you're going to need a high-caliber point guard. Maybe Phoenix is something that – maybe Phoenix is one of those where you're just like, what's the situation? What's the status? Is Ayton going to be the sign of something that comes down later where Chris Paul says, I no longer want to be there?
Right.
And maybe you do something for in terms of getting a Chris Paul in there. But you're going to need an elevated point guard at this point. Because if Derek White's not going to be good enough to get you there, then you need to start thinking, okay, I might need a top 10, top 15 point guard. Because what they're running right now is not that good.
Right. And that's what leads to all of their second half turnovers yep. and their breakdown in the fourth quarter. They've had one great fourth quarter in the playoffs. It came in game one. And maybe it was surprising because
I think that was series changing, though. I honestly think if they don't win that, we're talking about Warriors in five or we're talking gentleman sweep. We're doing this as like the postscript. We're doing a eulogy on this year's Boston Celtics.
Really? You think so?
Yes.
So. Because you and I have already had so many conversations about this.
Yes.
I keep watching these games, and I realize the Warriors lead 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep watching these games, and I believe I am watching games in which Boston is the better team.
Agreed.
Even though they have lost three times.
Agreed.
Even in the games that they have lost, they have looked like the better team to me.
They've been the better team, and that's where I won't disagree with you. They've been the better team throughout this series. They just can't stop, like, finishing. They just can't stop turning the ball over.
Right.
And it drives you nuts. But that's where the point guard thing comes in.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, that first game was – that was a show from Steph and the Warriors. That was an absolute show. And what the Boston Celtics did was they were like, you know what? I enjoy that you're having your little fun. We're going to take that away from you right now. We are just going to it was a little legitimate run-the-jewel situation. We are going to take what you love right now, and we're going to take game one. We are here. But outside of that, can you really say that this team lacks the focus and it lacks the point? It goes back to what we just talked about. This team lacks the point guard.
There's no question. I probably had this conversation about the Celtics for the last few months. They have been able to mitigate all of those because – you know, Marcus Smart, such a great defender, the defensive player of the year in the NBA, whether he was or not, he's certainly a great defender. I think Boston flops a little too much, but we see that all over the NBA.
They are one of the bigger offenders, one of the biggest offenders I've seen since the Blake Griffin Clippers, which, again, if you're an NBA head, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They flop too much. They whine too much. They were just a generally unlikable bunch of dudes.
The Clippers.
Yeah. Boston
Celtics.
Yeah.
I think these Celtics are likable.
They are. They are outside of maybe a Marcus Smart.
I like Marcus Smart. I think Smart knows what he's doing. He tries to get away with it. And I think Smart is like,
all
right, whatever.
He's so aggravating.
I understand that. He's not Patrick Beverley.
Well, no. No one can be Patrick Beverley.
Right.
No one can be that big of a scrub and still get a TV job like he's actually done something.
I know
where you're going with this, and we're going to stop you now.
Appreciate Matt Barnes for calling that out,
yes.
By the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because that was one of those things like, oh, you're talking now? Again, Chris Paul basically eliminated me and made me look bad? Oh, yeah. I remember that. That was hilarious at the time.
Right,
still is.
Let me just fold this into Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually talked about this for a while, and I thought that even with all of their injuries and Kyrie's decision-making on and off the basketball court, the fact that it hasn't gone well in Brooklyn yet for Durant, and he's had his own injury issues, has sort of brought back the Warriors' tenure maybe into clearer focus.
Yeah, we are relitigating that entire right. Warriors team.
Look, the Warriors won a title before Durant got there.
Mm-hmm.
Durant was amazing
mm-hmm.
with the Warriors, and I'm not saying that he is not a better player than Steph Curry, because he might be the second greatest scorer in the history of the NBA.
Agreed.
So, and it's still about points. The most points wins, not the best, most defensive stops, yeah. right? So he might be the second greatest scorer in all time behind Jordan. But I think that based on what we see out of this Warriors team with a sporadic Klay Thompson, Draymond mm-hmm. can be a complete zero and even a negative to them. I think we're seeing that what happened in 17 and 18 while Durant was the finals MVP, it might have been more about Curry than anything else. And I just think this is what it's saying to me, that Curry, to an extent, Klay and Draymond, yeah. that's the core that won three titles, and that Durant just was an embarrassment of riches.
What I want to warn you about, because okay. I don't necessarily disagree with you, what I do want to warn you about is we've had this conversation, I want to say a couple times back, and it's on the Best of the Adam Gold Show, and I
is it?
Suggest you download this. But we are going to talk, but this is where I come to the structure, like the salience of the structure, the fact that Curry is the foundation of mm-hmm. a big part of that. Does Draymond eat off of that? Yes, because
yeah.
we can make a case that Draymond was last elite, maybe 2016, 2017.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Klay's been Klay, but Klay's allowed to be Klay because of Steph.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the greatness of the structure of what the Golden State Warriors are built. We're going to see it with Kuminga when he grows into his role. We're going to see it with Moses Moody when he grows into his role. We see it with a guy like Kevon Looney, who has looked like Bill Russell Redux. Like,
wow.
Like, the man's pulling down 22, 26 rebounds a game. Like, that's the thing with guys like that. The structure matters more than the individual talent. And all that tells me is that Kevin Durant does a horrible job picking structure. He wants to be great. He wants to do all these things. He wants to score. He wants to be this entertainment mogul. He wants to have this media company. But at the same time, he lacks the structure in his basketball life to do that. He picks markets outside of this one time, this one three-year run where they basically went to the finals twice. They went to the finals three times, won it twice. Those right. two rings, that's the one time he's ever chosen structure, and then he's chosen to reject it ever again. Like, he's chosen to reject it. And it's funny because you can make the case that LeBron had the same kind of career arc
mm-hmm.
just a little bit earlier in his career. LeBron was 25, 26, 27 when he did it, rather than KD being basically 27, 28, 29. If KD chooses structure, we're going to relitigate this narrative again. I can guarantee you that.
All right, so I want to explore this real quick. LeBron, when he left Miami, when he left structure,
yeah.
to go back to unstructure in Cleveland.
Yes.
LeBron could do it because of the type of basketball player that he was.
Yes.
We've already seen LeBron make curious or agree to, I'm not saying make, agree to curious personnel decisions.
We can say he endorses it sometimes. Right. He endorses, like some folks embrace debate. Others embrace chaos. That is LeBron.
Because right.
when you start thinking about that career, you think about his choices now. Like, he went back to Cleveland. He could have stayed in structure. And then he says these podcasts where he's talking about, man, I'm the missing piece in Miami. Yes, we know LeBron. Then he goes to LA. You
could have been there.
Exactly. You should have been there.
Right.
Like, then he's going to LA, and then he's choosing the Buss family that has been clearly chaotic since Jim Buss has passed. Like, Dr. Buss has passed. That's been kind of established at this point. You're talking about a guy that can't stay away from the drama, that only had the structure mm-hmm. that 3 years, and then that was probably the most dominant LeBron outside of that 2009-2010 Cavs year. We're talking about LeBron being LeBron, but LeBron is a singular force. LeBron does everything. KD, like we've just established, scores. He does it perfectly.
Yeah.
That's the only, like, he's a really good defender, but it's not what he does best. LeBron does everything the best. Unfortunately for KD, and this is where the structure helps, if you have someone to take some of the pressure off of you, And that can't be a Kyrie Irving because Kyrie Irving isn't reliable for right. multiple reasons. But
Durant hitched his wagon to Kyrie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Brooklyn, which doesn't seem to be all that salient or smart of a market.
Wait, here's the thing. But first of all, the year before Durant got there,
mm-hmm.
the Nets were kind of sneaky good, weren't they?
They, remember, Kenny Atkinson, now new
That's
Charlotte
what I was going to ask you.
New Charlotte Hornets coach, had some structure and wanted to build, had a culture built. Built it around Jeremy Lin and the last vestiges of what was Lin's sanity. He built that around. He had a guy, again, Jared Allen, Caris LeVert.
Hornets legend, Jeremy Lin.
Exactly. Hornets legend. No, don't get me started. Jeremy Lin fans. They will be in my mentions after this, and I'm not looking forward to it. I would say, like, they built a culture, and then KD came in there, Kyrie came in there, tore it all apart, and they are what they are right now. And that's the thing. Some folks are just addicted to the difficulty. They don't want to win on regular All-Pro. They got to go to All-Madden to feel that, to satisfy that itch. And therefore, that's why some folks don't like structure. See LeBron, see KD. It's just a little bit, like, there are just certain things that people just, it's their competitiveness. And I get it, and I respect it. I just wish they would make it easier on themselves. They make it easier on us to love them.
Nada the Scribe is in studio with us. We're going to take a quick break. We have to come back. We're going to make bets.
Yes, we are.
We're going to talk more about the finals.
Absolutely.
And I think Dennis wants to talk comic books with you.
Absolutely.
That will
Let's
be when
it.
I leave.
Oh, we can fill an hour.
I don't have that kind of time. we'll be right back. We'll try to make some money next.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
How many different podcasts do you produce there?
Just three right now.
Just three?
Just three. Ion College Basketball is my primary one.
It's tremendous.
I'll work with Brinson on Pick Six every now and again. And then all
you like,
things covered.
You like Brinson, don't you?
Well, I'm one of the five people that do.
Oh, come on. I love Will.
Yeah, but
Will's
that,
my guy.
That, okay, so you're two of the five.
See, everybody's, it's like it's fun to just poke fun at Brinson.
Well, he
everybody
makes it
likes
easy,
Will.
Though.
That's, I know that, but that's Will.
The problem. He makes it entirely too easy. But like we're like two of the five people that actually like him. So.
And what else?
And then I'll pitch in on All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden.
Oh, that's very cool.
That is a very fun one. It is, you get to see athletes in their element talking to other athletes. It's really.
It's new media.
It's new media, but it's responsible new media. Responsible.
Wait. Are you saying that Draymond Green is not responsible new media?
Who produces him again?
Who's the guy? I have no idea.
He's under the Colin Cowherd banner.
He is.
So Volume Sports, like, I like certain podcasts with them. Dragonfly
right.
Jones, obviously, is probably number one. But there's a responsibility factor that sometimes you have to have when you have these athlete-led podcasts. And you have to be like, okay, maybe you do this one. Maybe you don't say this. Maybe I cut this. And they're none the wiser. That's all you got to do sometimes.
Okay. All right, I happen to like Green's.
Yeah, I do like his, but I also wonder how much we actually get of his, how good the producer is with that, because I don't think he's just in there recording, editing, and then putting out. No, I'm pretty sure he's not doing that. At least I hope not. He's too rich to do that.
All right, you're gonna have to critique our wagers here. All
okay,
right?
Then, yes.
I have some other questions. We got to talk more. And who knows? This might stretch over into the other hour.
Oh, that's perfectly
that
fine.
Right
I got nothing.
You?
I got nothing but time.
Shouts to our friend Lauren Brownlow, who's nursing her way back to health. You are nursing her way back to health. Do you have a degree?
I do not have a degree.
Do you have a stethoscope?
I do not have a stethoscope either. But what I used to be, before I did media. Media is my second career. So before that, I used to hang around in. Basically, I was a kitchen manager for a nursing home.
Okay.
So I have some
What are you saying
experience.
About Lauren, then?
Well,
are you saying that's where she belongs?
No, I'm not saying that's where she belongs. That's where I belong,
She is an
likely.
Old soul, but that's harsh.
You're trying to get me hit by a wrench when I get back there.
She knows. She knows. I have nothing but mad respect for Lauren Brownlow. All right, Dennis, let's play some bets.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are. I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
All right, let's do this, Dennis Cox. I think I lost all of my bets again yesterday. It's like the third day in a row. But I keep hitting on big ones, so it doesn't matter.
You even it out.
So what did you win yesterday?
I won nothing yesterday.
Really?
I had a future out with Will Zalatoris and okay. Zach Currier. Oh, no. So I've got futures on those.
I don't even know who Zach Currier is,
you
but
should.
That's fine.
I lost the Tampa Bay Lightning because I had them at Moneyline plus 135 with the overtime loss.
I had JT Compher for scoring a goal. He had three great scoring chances.
Including the game winner.
That's right.
He had a great chance on that, too. So there's that. And then Juan Soto didn't play again.
Again.
So there's no action on that one. So I lost 100 units yesterday.
Oh, that's not bad. It's not bad.
Broke
it's
a streak. Right. It's okay. All right. Nada, tell me if I'm making a good bet here.
Let
Steph
me hear
Curry.
This.
Three or more three-pointers in the first half, plus 185.
Take that bet. You take that and you run.
Yeah. I'm like, he went 0-for-9?
He's not going to make
today.
He'll make one in the first half, but this is going to be what we're going to talk about. Boston's defense will not change. I thought Boston's defensive game plan was brilliant, and it should have led to a win, but it didn't. That same game plan, I think, will lead to a win at home. All right, I'm going to start with this. Al Horford.
Okay.
Three or more threes made for the game at plus 375. I'm going with Al Horford.
You're relying on a guy that's played, let's see, two straight game seven series to have some sort of legs to shoot threes in game six.
Yep, I am. That's why it's plus 375. If it was a sure thing, it would be plus 175.
Sir,
but it ain't.
Sir, it's your units. It's your
it's
units.
My, leave
it's
my
your
units.
Units.
You leave my units alone.
Yes, I shall.
So I'm going Al Horford. I could have gone Al Horford to score 15 or more points at plus 350.
That might have been safer. I'm being dead serious. Like, that might have been safer. Here you are trying to risk more for – no. I have more faith in Al Horford scoring 15 than I do – Al Horford's getting three threes because that relies on a lot of legs. At least with 15, he can at least score in the paint. He can get fouled. There's a whole lot of other ways that this can happen.
All right, let me ask Dennis, can I change it to 15 or more points?
Let me take a look here and see. I'll let you know.
It's plus 350. They're both
long
shots.
Come on, Dennis. You got to let him do it.
All right, fine. Go for it.
All right, we'll go 15 or more points. If he hits three threes and scores 11 points, I'm coming to your house. All right. You're up, Dennis.
Good track, Nada down. Yes. All right, I'm going to switch over to baseball because Juan Soto hasn't played the last two games, so I'm going to switch things up. Give me Aaron Judge against the Tampa Bay Rays hitting a homer plus 245.
How is it just plus 245?
Just 245?
It should be minus money.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Gosh.
Dennis, like, they're not like – there's Vegas. These guys aren't looking for you because you just robbed them. You had to.
Oh, you should
them.
See my overall unit total. It's in the negatives.
Yes, you should look at it.
It's negative 1540.
All right, I'm going back to the NBA Finals for props. Really nothing that floats me tonight.
Yeah.
It's all NBA. Jason Tatum and Andrew Wiggins to each have 10 rebounds or more.
That feels like a good one.
Plus 375.
That feels like a good one.
Yeah, the Tatum one, maybe not.
I think we're going to see the best Tatum
has
attempt.
To
like we're going to see a Tatum haymaker, which means this may be one of those – Pantheon games we talk about, even in a loss,
has to be
like this. This could be the Isaiah Thomas loss, like Game Six loss type game where he does something nuts.
You mean the Isaiah Thomas against the Knicks in 1984 in Game Five where he scored
Lakers.
Think 31 in the fourth quarter?
Lakers game that Lakers won on yeah that I think I'm talking about the Lakers one 19 I believe it is 80 I think it's either 87 or 88 where he scores that like ridiculous 20 point quarter on one ankle.
Okay.
Like, I think we're getting that kind of Jason Tatum effort tonight.
All right. Well, I have them both to get at least 10 rebounds at plus 375. All right, Dennis.
All right. Give me Andrew Wiggins.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Under 7.5 rebounds today at plus 120. I think he comes back down to earth.
Under 7.
Under.
Under 7.5 rebounds.
Oh, two.
Plus 120.
Two enter. Only one can survive.
So what you're telling me is you're explaining why your units are the way they look, the way they look.
Pretty much.
Okay, just
make sure. I normally don't make these prop bets like this, but I have a lot of futures. Hey, by the way, Nada, I was down to like minus 2,400, actually like 2,450, and I'm out at 1,540. So I've actually been on a heater the last 2 weeks. Been.
Yes, and here you are trying to set yourself back on the same trends that you were on. You can't be doing that. This is progress. You're supposed to make progress forward. I'm disappointed in you, Dennis.
Come on, man. When Aaron Judge hits a homer today, and I'm going to be in the plus.
I'm surprised you just didn't go back to Shohei Ohtani.
There's I that, know. Too.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I had a long-running bet of Shohei Ohtani hitting a home run, and he finally did.
And did it feel good?
It did.
I bet it did.
It felt great.
I mean, it's like the fourth try, but I'm like, you got to keep on it. The first time Ohtani hits a home run, you're going to be mad at yourself for not doing it.
Exactly.
So you got to be there when it happens. And that, of course, came in a game against the Mets. Did it come in? Yeah, I think it came in a game against the Mets.
Yes, it did.
All right, by the way, I mean, they're okay. No DeGrom, no Scherzer, they're still fine.
I want to see where they're at after July 4th. I'm just going to. I'm the less I mention them, the happier I am.
Okay. All right, did you give us all three already?
I did.
All right, my final pick. I think Boston's going to win tonight. I think Boston's going to win by a comfortable number.
Okay.
So I'm going to take the line, and I'm going to go take it up, and I'm going to take Boston -7 at +145. I mean, I don't think that they'll do what the Grizzlies did to the Warriors in Game 5 in Memphis, where it was 134-95, and it wasn't that close.
I
think Boston wins comfortably tonight.
If Boston weren't one of the worst home finals teams in history, I think I would.
How do we know that, though?
They have
this team is not the same as the other teams.
I feel comfortable saying this. This team, along this playoff run, has not been able to do much at home. Do I think there's a good chance that they survive and they take this to San Francisco? Yes. I don't feel comfortable about that one at all. They play with their food too much. They do the turnover thing entirely too much. I don't trust them at all.
I don't disagree with that, but I think they win tonight. I think if they don't, it says too much about what they don't have.
Fair.
Or what they aren't. And I think that they're really just inexperienced. They do need a point guard. They need somebody to settle it down. But I don't think they need a guy to be on the court all the time. They just need that guy when they need that guy.
That's a lot to ask, though. That's a lot to ask.
It is. I think they'll win. I think they win tonight, and I think they win comfortably. That's why I'm taking a -7. I just jumped the line up a little bit to +145, because otherwise they're like -170 or something in the game. By the way, after game one, I got the Warriors at plus money in the series. Yeah, we waited. We waited for that.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.